my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holy trust in Jesus' name. Oh, and my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Oh, Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love. When darkness seems to hide his face, and I rest on his unchanging grace. Every high and every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Come on, church, sing it. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Oh, how great are you, God? Come on. Oh, and how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Oh, you are so beautiful, God. Yes, lift up a shout of praise. And how great is our God. And sing with me, our God, and all will see how great is our God. You're the name above all names. Come on, declare it in this place this morning. You're the name above all names. Oh, worthy to be praised. My heart will sing, how great is our God, name above all names. Oh, and you're the name above all names, King Jesus, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Come on, let's sing it, just our voices. And how great
as they're moving forward, that we just need to continue to pray for them. Yes, we're going to give an offering today, but I would suggest to you that we continue to pray for them, because they go into places that you and I don't go. They touch so many lives. So I just want you to welcome Carmen in Jesus' name. Amen?
Thank you.
All right, brother.
Thank you,
brother. Love you, brother.
Can I get this? Oh.
What do you need?
Pulpit? Yeah. Awesome. I'm just going to ask a couple of guys if they can grab that pulpit and slide it. Oh, that's fine. Whatever one. Don't matter. I'll take the music stand. Well, how many people enjoyed Ben's worship, man? That was pretty awesome, huh? As they're bringing, I'm just going to share, like, you know, it's an amazing thing how the Lord works and how he speaks to the things you desire. And so I just want to share a quick testimony of what happened when Ben came in on Wednesday night. You know, I'm not a needy guy, but I do feel when the Holy Spirit moves, even through music, that it speaks to my spirit. And I asked Ben, I said, hey, would you mind singing the song I Ran Out of That Grave? And he just looked at me and went, you got to be kidding me. And I said, why? What happened? He goes, man, that was on my list to sing, and I removed it. Right, Ben? Come on. And what a beautiful name. And so I said, well, there you go. But again, last night, something amazing happened to us while we were out to dinner, because my wife and I were all sitting with Kathy and her husband. And what's the gentleman's name that was with us? Ted. And we're all sitting there, and I keep looking at the rack of ribs, but I want to be nice. And I don't want to just, like, gorge, you know. So, but I keep reading it, and I read, oh, it comes with coleslaw, so that's kind of healthy, you know. And so, but I said, everybody's ordering small portions. Let me order a small portion. So I said, I'll just take the cod, you know. And it's, you know, kind of battered and stuff. So, but it's just so funny how the Lord, I said it, and four people were my witness, including the waiter. But when all of our food came out, he put this huge rack of ribs in front of me. And I start laughing. And he goes, is everything okay? And I said, everything is great. I said, it's so funny, because I said, do you know Jesus? And he says, oh, Jesus? I said, no, the big guy, the real Jesus. And so, you know, I said, but I want to tell you how Jesus used you. See, Jesus was the only one who heard my inner thinking. He's the one who saw me reading the rack of ribs. And I ordered cod, and every witness at the table, my wife and everybody there, said, yes, he ordered the cod. He goes, you want me to bring it back? I said, absolutely not. The Lord wanted me to have ribs, and I'm going to eat ribs. That's it. So, you know, I just thought it was just hilarious. But, you know, I had to slide all that sauce over and just try and eat like a normal human being. But anyway, this morning I want to talk about, so, you know, thank you, Pastor Bill. Thank you, Chip. I'm so glad my wife finally got to meet you. We love Corky, his dad. And when he walked in, she said, man, he looks just like Corky. I love it. So, but we're just so honored to be here. We understand going out into the streets and reaching the lost is so important, but Jesus prayed an amazing prayer over 2,000 years ago. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send the workers. Remember that prayer that we read all the time? Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send the workers into the field. And so me, I'm adamant about being the worker. I cannot believe that we could still look around waiting for the workers to come into the church. We are the workers. We are who Jesus prayed about. And Jesus' prayer is fulfilled. There are many churches with many people coming in. And so to me, I want to just delve into the power of Jesus Christ and what he can do even for those who don't know him, those who don't even have an idea who he is. So I want to just go into Luke chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 11 to 19, and I feel this is such an important thing for you to grab hold of, and then once I start delving into it, I'll tell you what the name of my sermon is today. So here we go. It says, while Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, it says he was passing, and I'm reading in the Amplified version, he was passing along the border between Samaria and Galilee. It says that as he entered a village, he was met by 10 disciples. lepers who stood at a distance. I love that. Because something happened to me about 10 years ago. So I answered my true calling. See, I ran out of the grave, right? I was in a grave. My grave was completely closed on me. I was held down by everything the world had to offer. Everything. I had the fame. I had the money. I had the notoriety. I was in newspapers, in magazines. I had everything I thought I was able to achieve because of my hard work. So what the world perceives as, you know, I made it, I was actually being more dug into a grave than anyone could ever imagine. But I ran out of a grave 20 years ago. That grave that was killing me slowly, killing me, just tearing me to shreds. So when I answered my call, now I'm fighting. Now the real wrestling begins. See, I wrestled people. I body slammed guys, thrown through tables, hit them with chairs. It was awesome. Awesome. But I loved what I did because it was entertainment. I shared this during this past week that the Bible and wrestling is an amazing combination. It was one of the first sports in the Bible, right? Jacob wrestled with God all night. I love that. You know, I love it. You could almost predict what an ex-professional wrestler will preach. Jacob wrestling, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But I didn't realize that wrestling against flesh and blood was a whole lot easier for me. It's wrestling against powers and principalities of darkness, the ruler of the air. That's the worst wrestling match a person can face. And so what happened was when I finally answered my call, I had an opportunity not just to go into the streets of Long Island and Brooklyn where the gangs and the infestation of drugs and child trafficking and all of that, that was hardly anything that I could experience. You know, I love people. So when I was doing it for Jesus, I always felt like I was not enough. I felt like I wasn't qualified. But then I went to India because I was asked to go on a missions trip. And so I went to India, and now I find myself this far from a leper colony. I didn't know lepers still existed. So this scripture means so much to me because it says that when Jesus was walking by, 10 lepers started screaming out to him. Well, see, what happened to me is I'm this new Christian, not so new, maybe 5-6 years in, but now as I'm walking in my calling, these lepers come out of a hut. And I asked the guy who's with me, who's the pastor, I said, "What is that?" It was so strange. I'd never seen anything like it. Had gauze all over them. Kind of wrapped, bloody, pussy, kind of disgusting for a Sunday morning. But they came immediately and walked to me. And I understand why now. I didn't understand then. I thought it was because I was an American and they'd never seen an American before. And so I'm going to tell you what happens in a little while, but I want to read the rest of the scripture. It says, so these 10 lepers stood at a distance and they raised their voice and they called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They must have heard about him. They must have witnessed from afar. They must have been a little bit at a distance, seeing the miraculous, but knowing that they had to stay social distancing back in their day. There was a social distancing mandate way back then. The lepers could not come along people like us who didn't have that skin disease. But they could not be stopped because they had a voice and they chose that day to use the voice they had. Come on, give hallelujah, Jesus, right? Hallelujah. When you recognize the miracle that's only yards away from you, you better scream out. Amen. Don't let any condition or situation stop you from obtaining the breakthrough, the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And that's what happened that day. "Master, have mercy on us." And this is what Jesus, he saw them and he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Jesus wanted the religious people to see what was about to happen. That was his answer. Wasn't like, "Come close, let me lay hands on you, let me pray, let me just speak into, let me do this, that, and the other thing." No, no, no. He said, "Go show yourselves." They caused their miracle to happen. They did. They recognized who the miracle worker was, and when they called out to him, the miracle was already taking place. I love that. I love that they didn't have to go through the hoops and all the stuff that we make them go through sometimes. You have to be all right. You have to have every hair in place. You have to be dressed right. No, come as you are. They came as lepers. And listen what happened. It says this. It says, oh, Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And they went. Because the miracle, they were miraculously healed and made clean. Just from a conversation. It's an amazing thing what a conversation can do. And one of them that he saw that he was healed turned back and glorified and praised and honored God in a loud voice. It says that he dropped to his knees. He says he's dropped to his knees. And he just started thanking Jesus. But look at this. In verse 17, it says, then Jesus asked this question. Because I believe Jesus is asking a question this morning. I believe it. I believe he's always asking questions to us. We just got to be obedient enough to listen and then answer him properly. And he says this to them. Were not there 10 of you cleansed? I love that. It's not abrasive. He's just pointing out the facts. You know, nothing to be scared about. He says, whoa, hold on a second. There were 10 of you, but only one came back. Weren't there not 10 of you? He says, where are the other 9? Simple question. So this morning, I want to title this message, where did they go? Where did they go? And that you can think about throughout the whole Bible. You could read stories in the Bible and you can speculate and you could make up and conjure up your own answers to that. But this morning, I always ask people, when I'm in the middle of a gang-infested area, I like to meet people where they are. If I go and I sit with a drug dealer or a gangbanger, if I'm in Chicago or New York City, wherever it is, I like to take them to dinner. I like to go and meet them in the hood where they're operating, where they're selling drugs, where they're gangbanging. And I like to go with a couple of people who are normal. I don't know what normal really means, but I try and take normal type people because I don't want them to offend them. And then I ask them to go to a meal. I'll pay for the meal. I'll take you to dinner. And then they're caught off drugs, off guard because they go like this. They go, are you 5-0? And I go, no, I'm not 5-0. And see, you have to understand street language. 5-0 means, are you a cop? So they see this big guy walking in a back alley. The first question is, you 5-0? Because they're ready to do something. And I say, no. And I said, look, man, I'm a servant of the Lord. That's it. He said, well, what do you want here? And I said, I want to talk about the kids in your community. I just want to take you to lunch or dinner. And they go, right there. Immediately, they're disarmed. I don't care if they're carrying a Desert Eagle. I don't care what they're carrying. Immediately, food disarms people. I'm talking facts. I'm not twisting scripture. Jesus fed thousands of people. You can't tell me thousands were in one accord. No, thousands understood one language. It was called food. It was called, I'm hungry. I need a meal. I have these pains. We all have those same pains. They all speak the same language when you're hungry. So my stomach's talking to me. I got to go eat. But Jesus fed people all throughout the Bible, and he disarmed them. And then he showed them the miracle. So these people must have witnessed. These lepers had to witness the miracles. The ones that were fed, and they were not. And they had to make a decision. I'm going to come out of my condition today to obtain every promise of God for my life. Every promise of God. It's for every one of us living and breathing. Those that are in their mother's wombs, the promise is for them as well, right? Come on, those who haven't even been birthed yet, the promise is for them. And that's why we're not trying to fight people. We're not trying to take away people's choice. We're just telling them that Jesus knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So you have a right to live. But today I want you to live, and I want you to ask, where have I been? Where did I go? Where did my children go? Where did my cousin go? Where did the people who are so on fire for Jesus go? Where are they? Where are they hiding out? Because the Bible says this, you know, I love, when it says that, this is where it hits me. How many moms have their kids lost a child? Come on. How many have lost them to drugs or alcohol? Come on. These are the people I'm talking about that we go out and minister to. Gangs, trafficking. How many of you have prayed for years and spoke about Jesus in your homes? Come on, how many of us has done that? Come on. How many of us have said that? What does the Bible say? It says right here, train up a child in the way they should go, right? Come on, that's Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So you know what happens to a lot of the people we meet with? They feel like they've failed God. Why did my child go off into that lifestyle? Why did they choose this path and not this path? Where did I fail? You did not fail. The word of God never falls void. Never falls void. Never falls void. Never falls void. It never falls void. It never dies. I can promise you this. That those gangbangers and those drug dealers never ever sat in a Miller elementary school classroom and said, I want to grow up and be a drug dealer. I want to be a gangbanger and take innocent lives. I want to push opioids and all these drugs throughout my... They never ever said that. But the world hangs these dangling carrots and they're called traps. And it's called deception. You see a gangbanger drive by in an amazing car that costs so much money. Spinners as wheel caps, jumping up and down. Ooh, then the kids go, man, I want that. I don't want to go work for a living. I want to get fast money. So we don't know where they have gone. That's the answer. Do not perceive where they've gone if they have not. You will be surprised who you'll catch out there. You'll just put that bait on your hook of evangelism and you cast that out there and you don't understand who's going to get caught up. Come on, how many of you know that I've been 13 months it took for two men to catch me? Can you imagine that? 13 months, two men ministered to me relentlessly. They put every single kind of bait on the hook when they casted it out to me and I ate every single piece of bait. I just didn't come in for the catch. You ever thrown out a hook and then you pull it back and the bait's gone? You get so frustrated. You move the boat. You go to another location. No, man, that means something's biting. Don't be so fast to move. Don't be so quick to abort and abandon. We are not called to abort and abandon. We're called to stay and occupy. Come on. The word of God stays and occupies. It occupies. It changes atmospheres. It completely shifts. It challenges people. People will get angry at you. They're not angry at you. They're angry at the light. Some people get so comfortable in the darkness that when the light shines for Jesus, they come after you. You become the target. But really, they're fighting the true calling, who they were born to be. Right? So here we go. It says, and when they saw him, and he says, when he says, go to the priest and show yourselves. And they went, one came, he says to them, where'd they go? Where'd they go? He says, there were none that found or returned to give thanks and praise unto God except for the one. Except for one. And in verse 19, it says, Jesus said to him, get up and go on your way. It says, your faith, your personal trust in me and your confidence in God's power has restored you to health. Come on, that's what he says. Is that in the Amplified? No, probably not, right? Oh, it is. Awesome. That's what it says. Get up and go because your faith and your confidence, all the promises of God that you knew were available to you, I'm paraphrasing, said made you well. Made you well. What happened? I want to ask you about this. Have you ever thought, what happened in the Bible to the four men? Unnamed, no names, just four men that carried a paralytic to a house that Jesus was in. Did you ever ask that? What happened to them? I know a little bit about them. I know that they knew somebody needed a healing, but they went out of their way to take someone else to their breakthrough. And they didn't get distracted. They didn't get deflated. How many of us get so deflated sometimes? Because these men saw that it was impossible to get to Jesus. But we serve a God that loves impossibilities, right? He's a God of possibilities, right? I love it. I love that we serve an impossible God. When he sees impossibilities, that's when the breakthrough happens. So they carried four men and a bed to a house that they could not get into. I love it. That to me is like, yo, this is awesome. Something's happening in that house. I got to get in there. And they say, you know what? There's a roof. Let's get the guy on the roof. And what did they do? It says they tore the roof open. That is amazing to me. Jesus is in there teaching, and they're ripping apart at a roof. I love it. They rip it apart, and then can you imagine Jesus? Oh, so yes, and then all of a sudden he sees the little dust particles falling. First he heard the walking on the roof, and it wasn't reindeer. It wasn't Santa coming to deliver any gifts. And then all of a sudden you start to see the opening, and it starts a little hole, and the hole gets bigger and gets bigger and gets bigger, and they're not stopping. They're not yelling into the hole, hey, can somebody get us into the front door? We got a paralyzed man on the roof. No, they ripped it open and they lowered him in there. So I'm a New Yorker. That's where I'm born and raised. I ask a lot of questions. Where'd they get the tools? How'd they lower him in? Because common sense says if a man's paralyzed, you don't lower him in this way. Right? Come on, let's just use our common sense. The man's paralyzed, you don't put him in this way. You have to lower him this way. So the hole had to be pretty significant. Nevertheless, they let him down right in front of Jesus. And that man who never pursued Jesus, not one day. That's what the Bible's showing me. They went to his house, they grabbed him, but he heard about him. He couldn't pursue him, but he heard about him. He heard about the miracles before people had compassion and went and rescued a man and brought him, and that man carried his own bed home. Come on, let's give Jesus praise for that. Come on. Come on. How am I not on fire for Jesus? All I have to do is say the name. Come on, we sing the song, say the name of Jesus, right? Let's say the name of Jesus. When the guy said, Jesus, I said, no, Jesus. Because it's a seed planted. Let somebody else come around and water it now. Or yeah, they'll water it, and then Jesus will give the increase, right? Come on, I know that I planted a seed because of a meal. I didn't have to preach to him. I had to drop a seed. And that's what we have to do. There's so many people. I love this church. I love what we just partook this week. The kids dancing and screaming their heads off for Jesus. They like a particular song and they go berserk for him. You want to know when I went berserk? When I was standing in front of a leper because I knew not what to do. I didn't know what to do. Forgive me, Lord. I knew not what to do. But I'm face to face with a leper in an unreached village in India. And I got all these Indians behind me that are church people, and I got the son of the pastor who's the interpreter. I do not speak the language of the native tongue. I speak English. I speak Brooklyn. Right? So I'm speaking my language. That interpreter doesn't know what to do because he was never, ever in the vicinity of a leper before, but he knew to tell me, that's a leper. And I go, oh, whoa, here we go. And I'm like, okay. And I said, I don't know what to do, but I got to do something. And here comes the leper. And I didn't know if it was a male or a female. Why? Because it was so wrapped and so dusty and dirty. Dusty, gray. The person's color was gray. That's all I remember. But as the person got this close to me, I looked that person right in the eyes. And that person looked up at me, and all I could see was black. Not white. I didn't see any white in the eyes. I saw black. And now I'm looking face to face, and I got the interpreter here. But I have Jesus, right? They were not drawn to an American. I have to believe that they were drawn to the light. They were drawn to something because they do not come around any of the other villagers. They're set off way in the back. But as she, well, as that person stood there, I did one thing that I knew how to do. I know how to hug. Crazy guy up on stage now, right? Yeah. Crazy. That's it. I know how to hug. I was raised in an Italian family. We hug, we kiss. We kiss men, we kiss women. That's the culture. We just hug and you kiss. We kiss. That's it. So I said, I don't know if I'm going to kiss, but I'm going to hug. But I'm going to get really close because there has to have a conversation right now. Here's a conversation that has to take place. Otherwise, I came all the way around the world for nothing. And I pulled that leper. I cannot tell you the smell that was on that person. I pulled her into my chest, and that's when I found out it was a her. Because right before I pulled her, I heard a voice, and it wasn't the voice of the Lord. It was Satan talking loud and clear to me. And you know what Satan said to me? Satan said, you won't go near her. You won't even touch her. That's what he said to me. That was what I faced in a village, a new believer that just knew I had to go. I had to go. I had to do something with what I have received. Now, what did I receive? I was delivered from 3 suicide attempts. I ran out of my grave over 3 times. Addictions to drugs, alcohol, and painkillers. 15 years old, fighting for my life in a hospital from a drug overdose. And then as a 20-something-year-old, and then in my 30s. And then thank God at 33, I received Jesus. Come on, that's it. This is what I'm talking about. So I cannot, and I'm not here because I'm here to encourage you that you might cast a hook one day and catch a me. All right, let me say it again. You might cast a hook one day and you catch a me. You'll catch somebody who was trying to check out so hard. I wanted to be done with this life. And I'm glad I wanted to be done with this life because the Bible tells me he who loves his life loses it. So I'm standing in front of the leper and I hear Satan. I heard this dark, sadistic voice say, you won't touch her. You won't even put a hand on her. And I did the complete opposite. I grabbed her shoulders. And I never do this. I'm never disrespectful. But I pulled her into my chest. And I put my head down to her ear. And I said these words. I said, you lying, stinking, filthy devil, get out of her right now in Jesus' name. And she forcefully shoved me away. As soon as I said that, she pushed me like I thought I had her handprints in my chest. She pushed against me. And I thought it was because she was mad. She didn't know what I was saying. The interpreter was still staying. He wouldn't go near her. He might have heard Satan too and said, you got it. You're right. I don't know if he heard the same voice, but the voice I heard, I knew it was not the God that saved me, the God that rescued me, delivered me, freed me. I knew it wasn't that voice. We're listening to a lot of voices and a lot of things that the world wants to tell you and scare you. But whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's a contract. That's contract. It's no negotiation. You don't have levels of freedom. You are either free or you're not free. You understand what I'm saying? You are either held captive or you're not held captive. He set the captives free. I ran out of the grave and I refused to turn back. That's what I did. I've ran, but I didn't run. People see you run, they think, what are you running from? No, I was pursuing something. Amen. There's a difference when you run. Some people run and they're running away from something. I was running in pursuit of something. So I saw myself as the leper. I said, I don't know what affairs you nine are going to take care of. We cannot ever judge what others are doing. It's not our place. It's not our job. That's not what we're called to do. And we get caught in it. We fall in traps all day long. The news and the media and this and that and who, what's fake, what's not, what's real. I can tell you what's real. The love of God is the most real thing you'll ever experience. That's it. That's the only thing that's real. And I thought she was violently pushing me away, but she just had to breathe for the first time. And I watched something. The miracle that happened is that her eyes that were black were now white. It was clear. She was looking at me like she was in love with me. She wasn't in love with me. She was in love with the Jesus with me. The Jesus in me. You know why? Because there was no miscommunication. This is the conversation I had. I said to her, once she pushed me away, it didn't end there. It didn't end there because two other lepers came out from under that hut, crawling on the ground and walking and stood right behind her. So she gets free. The two people behind her were her mother and her grandmother. Watching a miracle happen. Watching a disease go away. Literally, she was cleared up. Cleared up. I'm watching the Bible. I'm literally in a Bible story. I'm in a Bible story. I'm standing in a Bible story. And I'm like, what is happening here? I read about this. I didn't know I was going to be in the book. So I tell her this because I don't want miscommunication. I don't want the seed to die. You know, if you put a seed on foul ground, it dies. Her seed has got to get planted now. And I said to her this. I said, okay. And I said, now I need you to interpret. This is why you can't just stand there with your mouth open. Here we go. Come here. And he did. Isaac, I can't even remember. But he came over and he stared next to me. I said, tell her exactly what I say. I said, do you know that Jesus is here right now? And she went like this. Yes. She said it in Telugu, her language. I said, do you know that I am not Jesus? See, I don't want the miscommunication. Do you know that I'm not him? She said, yeah. I said, how do you know that? Because now here's the first question. How do you know that? Jesus asked simple questions. Where'd the nine go? Weren't there 10 of you? I said, how do you know that? She goes, because I feel him on me and in me. Whoa, come on now. That's what she said. I feel him on me and in me. Whoo, I'm like, man, I better get my bags and get back to America because I'm done here. This is it. Drop the mic. I'm out. That's it. But I said to her this. I said, that's right. And you've never heard the name Jesus? She said, never in her language. She said, but I know what I feel is something I've never felt before. Something I've never experienced before. And so in that moment, now this is the most incredible part. Here's the seed. The seed spreads to her mother, her grandmother. They're now getting healed. He's healing them. He's taking them out. Come on. So I say to her, okay, I need you to receive Jesus that is your Lord and Savior. This is it. You got to confess it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. You're already doing that. So I want you to receive him and you will not serve any other gods. Because in India, they have thousands of gods. A tree is a god. Money's a god. An elephant's a god. Everything's a god. A rat is a god. Seriously, everything, every symbol, everything's a god. I said, you have to serve one god. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. She said, I'm ready. She receives Jesus. Then her mother and they're all doing it together. They're all receiving Jesus. And then I hear celebrating behind me because I only had like three people with me from America. But behind me, I hear screaming. And as I turn around, the whole village of 80-something people received Jesus. You know why? This is why. Because they were witnesses. They watched the impossible become possible. That's all they did. They watched the impossible become possible. Leprosy was an impossible thing. When you have it, you have it, you're cast off, you're excommunicated from your family, your culture, every tradition. And that lady was healed, delivered, and set free. So were her grandparents, her mom, everybody. And now they're part of a community of Jesus believers. Amen? Look at the lady, the Samaritan woman. Jesus had no right. He threw his own disciples off. I love it that they went to go get him food. And when they came back, they said, "Are you so hungry? We brought you food." He said, "Man, I'm full." His own followers are thinking, like, what? First of all, what's the conversation he's having with somebody he shouldn't even be relating to? And who fed him? My God, when you go out there and you start getting into your community, you will feel more fed than you've ever fed before. Amen? I'm telling you, this is what happens. He says, no, what I fed on, oh, man. Just like he told the lady at the well, you can keep drawing that water, but the living water, you'll never thirst again. You'll never, ever thirst again. You're never going to thirst again. Your thirst will always be quenched when you're walking in the promises of the Lord, when you answer your calling, when you do exactly what he says and don't divert from it. You have to live righteously. You have to live upstanding for Christ, who sees everything, knows everything, understands everything, forgives everything. But we cannot abuse his grace. He can't abuse it. And people abuse it. They abuse it. They misuse it. But the mercy endureth forever, right? That's what the Bible says. His mercy endureth forever. Amen. So I don't get afraid. It's not because I'm a big guy in stature. I just know who's in me. Amen. He who's in me, right, is greater. Way greater. He's in me. I don't have to worry. He's never apart from me. He never diverts from me. He's always got to keep me in line. Here, Carmine, you're getting a little bit crazy now. The New Yorker's coming out of you here. Come on. I love when my wife tells me, don't let Brooklyn out. Stop. I'm not here to make you think I got it all together. I'm here to let you know that my heart is broken for those who don't yet know Jesus. Remember what I just said. Those who don't yet know Jesus. Not that those who don't know Jesus, those who don't yet know Jesus. Because my prayer is that Jesus stays right where he is. See, I pray against the grain. When others are praying, Jesus, come back. I'm ready, Lord. Come back, man. This world is crazy. I say, Jesus, stay right where you are, brother. Please. Please, Lord, stay where you are. Please don't come back. I got an easy pass in my car. I love it, but I don't want the easy pass to my eternity. Come on. We were warned about this. We were told, we were foretold that perilous times are going to come. That people who hated Jesus, they hated him. They're going to hate us because they hated him first. So now the haters come alive. Amen? Amen. And that's okay. Because the lovers of Christ have to come alive. Amen? We have to come alive. We have to do the things we normally wouldn't do. But don't do them because you want to do them. Do them because he's asking you to do them. It's an amazing thing. We have this amazing Jesus, and we only take what he gives us, sometimes even for a condition or a moment. That's what happened. That's why I asked Jesus, where'd the nine go? And he never gave me an answer, but I have my own mind, and I don't know. If I'm a leper and I'm separated from my community, put in a leper colony, and Jesus heals me, you know what? I might be an evangelist out there. Just might. I might go back to my house and see my family. I might have done that. I might have shared the good news of Jesus Christ. I might have caused revival in my community, might have done that. I love how the Bible says Jesus went back to his own hometown and couldn't hardly do any good works, right? He's limited because the people limited him. It wasn't because he was limited, it's because they limited him because of their perception of him. Oh, that's the carpenter's son. Oh yeah, I know him, hey. You can't be the Messiah, there's no way. I can't tell you how many people that I did what I did with before Christ, BC, before Christ, that see me now and they go, my God, please pray for me. But when I first gave my life to the Lord, they were the naysayers. They were the clowns. They were the people who said, oh, how's that Bible thing working out for you? Let me tell you how it's working out for me. I was signed, sealed, delivered. Amen. Come on, you like that song, right? Here I am, baby. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm your, right? Because I'm yours. Right? You hear, you like music? You like that song? I did lots of foolish things. Yeah. Right, Chip? Man, I wish we could get a band right now. Man. Here I am, baby. Come on, Ben. Come on up here for a second, brother. Let's turn this house upside down. How about that? You guys are used to it. I see you have carnivals better than the carnivals. You have drive-thrus better than the drive-thrus. Come on. Come on, Ben. Come on up here, brother. Come on. Come on. I want somebody. This is what I feel. This is what I feel. I don't even feel like I even need to say anything else, but this is what I see in the spirit, right? I saw these three lepers, and then I saw that they were lepers no more. Awesome, right? That's beautiful, right? Come on. This ain't no David and Goliath here, but, you know. But it's a pretty good depiction of it right now, right? No. But brother, I would like for you to just grab your guitar, and I think that, you know, people need, and I'm going to tell you, and this is really what I feel in the spirit, because the fire of God is in this place. I cannot ever talk about Jesus and not be emotional. I can't. I was a dead man walking over three times. Come on. How could I not? How could the things that I've seen, the things that I've done, the things that I've became a part of, how could I ever question the goodness and the mercy of God? And I know it's scary. I know, you know, if people really knew what you were dealing with, would they receive you? I was that. That's why it took me 13 months to come to the altar. This is what took me so long, because I could not believe that those, if they would have really known, the question of the ages was this: is wrestling fake or real? That was it. That's what that was the hardest question I ever had to answer in my whole life. And then I tell my chiropractor, is this fake or real? He goes, I'll answer that after you pay me. And then I'd be in the massage therapy every week. I'd tell her, is this fake or real? I don't get it. I'm hurt right now. I'm like, and then I thought about this. I said, man, look at the Bible. Look at wrestling, pro wrestling. I'm talking about like WWE. Now I don't even watch it. It's so like, it's not like the old days, right? Wrestling. Wrestling was good, man. It was good. It was family. It was entertainment. But wrestling was predetermined. That's your answer. Everybody want to answer the question? Everything about wrestling is entertainment. But the physicality is so real, man. I can't even tell you the bumps and bruises and my medical bills through the roof, the surgeries. I'm still having surgeries because of the tables and chairs that I went through and the concrete floors I landed on. I'm still doing it. Ask my wife. My foot surgeries are ridiculous through the roof. But they were predetermined. Amen. Let me ask you something about your Bible. Do you know the outcome?
Amen.
What? What do you mean? You know the outcome of the what? You know the outcome? What's the outcome say?
We win. That's right. We win.
The Bible is not fake. It's not a fictitious story. It's real. Amen. But it answers every question to every situation that your life has now over thousands, not just 2,000. Thousands. The Old Testament answers, and it helps you to live righteous, making sound choices, living upstanding, knowing your gender. I'm going to hit it hard because I'm going to hit it out the park today. Ready? The bases are loaded, man. I don't want a single. I want to be able to dance around the bases. Here we go. But we are victorious. Not by ourselves. Listen, we are not victorious on our own. But with Christ Jesus, we win. That's it.
Come on.
Oh, did you, if I win, I'm celebrating. And if I'm celebrating, they're hearing about it. So a dead kid, dead in a casket, is coming out of a community in a procession. That's what the Bible tells me. The mother's mourning. She's a widow. She lost her kid. They're crying. There's a crowd coming out. But on the other hand, there's a crowd coming in. They're following Jesus. That's what my Bible tells me. And here comes Jesus with the disciples, and me and Ben, we're walking. Oh my God, did you believe that? And now here comes sorrow clashing with Jesus. Boom! First collision in the Bible. First collision ever recorded in the Bible. That's what I've read. Is that there was a group coming out and there was a group coming in. I want to be in the group coming in. But Jesus didn't just bypass them. He didn't just say, come on, guys, this is a funeral procession. Let's go around. No, he saw the casket. He walked over to the casket. He didn't touch the kid. He never touched the kid. He never put hands on anybody. But he saw the box. I love the box. How many of you are in a box today? Come on, who could be honest this morning? Who is in a box right now and you need to break open the box right now? Come on, lift your hands. I want to see an agreement here. I've put myself in the box. Nobody forced drugs into me. Nobody made me drink. Nobody made me do pills. Nobody caused me to do that. Nobody caused me and told me you need to be depressed. Nobody said that. Nobody asked me to be depressed. I fell into depression. I was the one that put myself in the box. But Jesus could have opened and said, open the box. No. He just put his hand on the box. Jesus put his hand on the box. Come on, Jesus. And what did the Bible say? That dead boy sat up. Touched the box. He didn't touch the skin. He didn't tell the kid rise up. He touched the box. And the power that was in him went through the box. And it said the kid sat up immediately. Immediately began to speak and shout. And then Jesus did what he had to do, because Jesus didn't feel sorry for anyone. Jesus didn't feel sorry for the condition the woman was in. He said it was a widow that lost her son. He never felt sorry for her. He felt compassion. That's the only thing you need to walk in is compassion. You don't have to walk in sorrow. Sorrow arrests your atmosphere. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Sorrow. You ever went to somebody's house for coffee and you left crying? Because sorrow is consumed in that house? But if you walk in compassion, you leave joyful noise, screaming and dancing, praying and believing. And he said he presented that child to the mother, but it didn't stop there. It spread throughout the whole region. It said that the kid and what happened, the recording of what happened, spread throughout the region. So he's once dead, now alive. I was blind. How many times? Now I see. I was dead. How many times? Now I'm alive. So this is how I want to end today. If you came in here, you do not have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You say, you know what, Carmine? I've been on the fence. Today it's time to get off the fence. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you, submit it all. Give it all. All of it. That means all. Let me say it in Chinese. All. Let me say it in Swahili, all. That might not be the right translation, but I'm going to tell you it's all. Everything, you give it all. Because you don't want the devil messing in your junk. The devil will take the 1% you refuse to give Jesus and he'll jack you up. He'll make you look like the worst when you're not the worst. So I want you to close your eyes right now in Jesus' name. Father, today I want to run out of my tomb. Today I want to run out of my grave. Today I want to rise up out of my coffin. I want to get out of this condition and this situation. I want to be free indeed, just like the man of God is saying. If that is you and you said, man, I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart, live in my life, to live and guide, and this is your opportunity. I'm going to ask you right now, if that's you and you say, man, I've never fully submitted my life, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I want to receive him right now. And if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to just stand up at your feet right now. Just stand to your feet right now. And don't be a shit. Don't worry about who's in here, who's looking. Oh, well, I thought they were saved. That doesn't matter. It's what you and Jesus are going to take care of today. Right now, he's going to pay your debt in full right now. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet with me. Stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these brave, amazing, compassionate people who have been beaten and battered by life, tossed out, told, get out of here. I don't ever want to see you again. Jesus is saying, you're the one I've been looking for. You're the one I've been pursuing. You're the one that means more to me than you'll ever imagine. I'm going to ask you right now, if you stood to your feet, if you're watching at home, this goes for you as well. You don't have to be physically here, but we need to start coming to church and having a Holy Ghost hoedown. Come on, we need to go put pain on the devil. Come on. That's what we need to do. We need to inflict Holy Ghost pain on the devil. If you've stood up at your feet, if you're standing at home and you're watching this live, this is for you. So I'm going to ask you, come meet me right now at the altar. You come out of your seat, make your way to the aisle, and come. I'm not leaving. I'm going to join you right here. Come on out to you. Come out to the aisles. My God, thank you, Jesus. Come and meet me here. We're going to wait for you. There's nothing more important than this. Nothing. And this is why we go into the areas we go into. Meeting the people. Come stand right in front of me. And just don't even face the audience. Just face me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My God. Hold hands, yeah. I want you to feel a hand of compassion. That's all I want you to feel, a hand of compassion. If there's anyone else and you say, man, I got some stuff. I'm going to say this prayer right now. Satan, shut your mouth right now. You have no power in this place. You shut it off right now. I'm going to ask that God's angels put a field around you that no lie could ever enter into your mind unless you allow it to. We silence the lies and the noise right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, this is a Holy Ghost moment right now. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about many miracles, many miracles. It talks about diseases like the lepers. It talks about so many cripples coming full, straight, 100%. But there's no greater miracle in the Bible than this right here. It says when one receives the Lord, 1,000 are set to flight, and two or more, 10,000 and more. Heaven will celebrate when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you ain't done there. This is the beginning. This is your family sitting behind you. This is your new family, new and improved. How you like the new and improved, right? Come on, man. I love my family, but when I got saved, man, I had a new and improved family. That was Satan killers, right? I love it. I want you to say this. Put your hands over your heart right now because that's the heart that's so precious to Jesus. It's been beaten and battered. I just want you to say, dear Lord Jesus, I stand here right now as a sinner. But a sinner, I will be no more. I believe what this man has said about you. And I ask you right now, to be my Lord and Savior, to live in me, to lead and guide me in every decision I make. I renounce every bad thing I've ever done or allowed to get on me. from this day forward, I just ask for a stronger relationship with you. I love you. I thank you. And I am now yours. And you are mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's just give the Lord a... Come on. Woo! Jesus. 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 I want you guys just to turn around right where you are, because this is not on you. This is the responsibility of the church, that they will give you connection cards. If you're not connected already, they need your information, because they have so many resources. That's why I am on a fire for Jesus, because the church I got saved in didn't let me go. Didn't let my shortcomings distract them or throw them off course. You guys are more precious than you'll ever imagine, and this church is going to love you well. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Woo. Can you sing, "I Ran Out of That Grave"? Yeah. All right. I know that Pastor Bill's going to come up. All right. He's going to be right here. But I've asked Ben, as we close, I want him to sing that song, "I Ran Out of My Grave." Out of the darkness into his glorious, my gosh. All right? But I want you guys, that it's all yours. I love you guys.
One more thing to do before he leaves.
Oh, one more thing to do.
All right. We've got a couple things to do. First of all, I've asked Pastor Chip to come up. We're both going to lay hands on him. And I would like you all to just put your hands towards Carmine and towards his wife. Father God, you've heard his heart. Lord, you've seen the ministry that he's walked in. You see the lives that they've touched. He, his wife, and the ministry team. Lord, I just pray that as they go forward, Father God, they will know that they are not moving forward in the flesh, but in the spirit. That your Holy Spirit goes with them and before them. That you have them covered every step of the way, Father God. And that your Holy Spirit will prepare things so that each stop will be anointed and appointed by you. And that, Lord, that there will be times when they need to say no to something and times when they need to say yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that they will walk in your wise counsel in that, Father God. I thank you for their work. I thank you for their dedication. I thank you for their love of you.
Yes, Father.
And so, Father God, just love on them. And just guide them, heal them. I pray over these different aches and these pains,
yes,
right, now that,
right now
that he's talking about, this foot surgery and
right
stuff.
Now,
Lord, there's nothing here that's a secret to
right
you.
Now,
and just like those lepers could be healed,
yes,
Carmine can be healed.
Yes,
and
Father.
So, Lord, we don't just
it's
say
done,
this to
Father,
say words.
Right
by the
yes,
Spirit
Father.
Of the Lord, I feel led to stop what we're doing right now and pray over his healing,
Jesus,
and the change that's going to take place.
Jesus.
That will be one more thing that he can give you
yes,
glory
Father.
For. Not because of who said the words, but because of what you did,
yes,
in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, before you go. Listen, one more thing. I got to bend down so I get the Ben's microphone here. Okay. Listen, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. But how can they hear unless somebody tells them? And how can somebody tell them unless they are sent? Okay, so we have an opportunity to help Carmine with his ministry today. We have an opportunity to help send him. You know, he needs a little bit of money every once in a while to be able to take these guys out to dinner. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could provide some of those dinners, that we could participate in his ministry? So what we want to do is this. We want to then take up a second collection. And this collection is strictly for Carmine, to help him go out into the streets and to win people for Christ. Okay?
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
So can we make the checks out to Wrestling for Souls? Or
no. You can make out to you or Hitting the Pavement. That's the
Hitting
ministry.
The Pavement.
Hitting the
make,
Pavement. Yeah.
Make
either
it out
hitting
to Hitting the
Pavement,
pavement okay? And Ben's going to close us in this song. The ushers are going to come forward now. We're going to take up this collection, make it out to Hitting for Pavement, and you can be a participant in what Carmen is doing and helping reaching souls for Christ. Amen? So let's give Carmen a big hand. Woo! And let's turn it over there.
I was buried beneath my shame. Come on, who could carry? Who could carry that kind of weight?
Come on.
It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb, Jesus, till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Hey.
Hallelujah.
Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved, come on, my soul. Now your freedom.
Hallelujah.
Now your freedom is all that I know. The old me knew. Oh, Jesus, when I met you, you called my name and I ran out of that grave. Yes, come on, get excited. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Yes, I did. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Come on, sing it. I needed rescue. I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. 'Cause when you called my name, come on, church, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Lift up a shout of praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh. Oh, we love you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Woo. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Woo. Glory to God.
Amen.
Okay, just one more thing. We're going to pray now and then get out there and get some food and have fellowship, have fun, and just say thank you, Lord, for all that you've already done this day and what you're about to do. So, Father God, we thank you for this food. We pray for the blessings of that and for the hands that prepared it. But, Lord, most of all, we thank you for you. We feel that we've been in your presence, Lord. Thank you for loving us, for meeting us right where we're at. To To you be the glory in all that takes place this day. May all that we do honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go.